All righty. Well, Noah's Arkers, you may go to Noah's Ark. Clubhouse, that is. That's good. One in the back room? Oh, no. Noah's Ark Clubhouse does not occur because of a flood in the back room, no. No. Although it could have. We have some guests this morning, Randy and Denise and Rob in the back. Welcome. Just here from Cedar Falls, so welcome. Well, you came at the right time because we're just starting a brand new series. And I wanted to provide this morning just some motivation for you for this summer's series. I want you to look forward to what you'll be hearing and to believe that somehow it'll be part of what God will use in your life to make you all that He planned for you to be. Somehow He'll use this recitation of heroes in that process. I'd like you to inspire, to aspire to the fullest life that He's got for you. A Roman philosopher by the name of Seneca said this: the point is not how long you live, but how nobly. And I like that. And our review of heroes this summer is intended to kindle or revive, whatever the case may be, within you a desire for the most noble investment of your life. That's what we'll see in the heroes that we look to this summer, is that they lived their life to the full. They gave it all they had. And we'll see that it was well rewarded. So, why should we study heroes? That is kind of the topic here this morning. And I'd like to pray one more time. Adam did a great job praying, that's fine. But I want to pray again. God, we thank you. We thank you indeed for the life that you called us to. Thank you that being made in your image bears such tremendous significance. Every human being, such tremendous significance. I just pray that even this morning you'd excite us over what's going to happen this summer and over what could happen in our lives by the end of the summer. What kind of people we could be in our hearts and through our lives. So I pray you'd use this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why should we study heroes? One reason is for hope. We need hope. Romans 15:4 says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. Hope is the conviction that our days are going to get better and better and better, that our life will be more and more and more fruitful or more and more fulfilling. Having hope is a huge, huge value. And the study of heroes, what it can do is to train our expectations, train us to think in terms of having hope for this life. Several years ago, Patty and Luke and I went to Ukraine for a short time. And part of our time there was to, we went out to a village several times, a village called Bervitsa. And we found some families there, and we found a group, a small group of families that you would describe as being without hope. During the time of the Russian stranglehold or governing or whatever, however you want to term it, of Ukraine, everything was set. They had their communal farms, and the administrators of those farms told everybody what they were supposed to do, and life was meager, but at least was reliable. They knew what to expect. When the government fell, they found themselves totally unprepared for freedom. They did not know how to live, and they were without hope. They had some livestock there, but nothing to feed them with, nothing, you know, nutritionally matching their needs. And when the Russian government dissolved, at least in Ukraine, the farm managers took the equipment and left, them with nothing. And they were without hope. And you know, that's how it is with each of us when we come to faith. If you've come to faith, you come because of some hope. You think things are going to get better. If I trust in Christ, things are going to get better. And they do, but we're still leaving an old way of life that was familiar to us. It wasn't very good, but at least it was familiar and we knew what to expect. And so this walk, the path of walking by faith, is unfamiliar to us. And I think as young believers, you know, it was just recently that we were living for immediate gratification. Or at least we were living for the here and now. You know, if I go to school and I get this degree, then I'll get this job and it'll be good for here and now. We're just trained to think in the here and now. But when we come to obeying an unseen master, that sort of bucks against our old habits of living our own life the way we wanted to. The heroes, or the study of heroes, can give us courage that it'll work out. It'll work out to obey this master who is unseen. J.R.R. Tolkien summed it up this way: living by faith includes something greater than cowardly self-preservation. I said some time back that we tend to live for survival, but God wants us to live for revival, to be new and new and new on the inside, day by day, to be renewed, to live for revival. Since it requires so much courage, our heroes this summer can urge us on to our own victories. So whatever was written in earlier times, including the study of these heroes, was written for our instruction. We can learn something from those who have walked in faith ahead of us. And what we will learn if we put it into practice will give us hope. Romans 5 talks about this. That Adam mentioned James 1, but Romans 5, a similar kind of a passage, says you have trouble in your life, it brings forth a proven character, and proven character gives you hope. And that's what we'll see in the study of our heroes this morning. So that's one thing we can look forward to, is hope. A second reason to study heroes, I love this, is for humility. Humility in this sense, that we're designed, each of us are designed to be a part, not the whole thing, a part of God's overall plan, a significant part. God has so composed the body that he's given each of us a predisposition towards displaying excellence in a special way. Every one of us is unique, just like everybody else. I love that statement. As we study our heroes this summer, we'll be seeing what they did with their giftedness, how they managed it, how they dealt with it. But we'll also be humbled to know that we won't all have all the gifts. God didn't design it that way, that we would all have all the gifts. And in areas that we might not be particularly gifted, the study of heroes can help us to be adequate. And in the same time, we can be appreciating what God has given to others. Look at this passage in Romans 12. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now in this passage, that phrase, a measure of faith, is referring to the area of giftedness. We'll see this here as we read the rest of the passage. Somehow, when each of us read the scriptures, the way we are wired and the way God made us to be and the way God is making us to become stands out to us in a little bit different way. That's what he's talking about here when he says he's given each of us a measure of faith. We apply the truth. You know, if you're just a servant, if you're a gifted servant and you read a passage, you'll see service in a lot of passages that other people won't see service in. And as you do, you'll display that facet of God's glory. Let's read on. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So the heroes that we will discover or review this summer also, they had their own lives. They were dealt their own hand, their deck of cards, so to speak. They had some good things happen to them and some bad things happen to them, and they had to deal with that. And we'll see how they did that. You know, they were put on earth at a specific time for a specific role, just like we are. And it'll be encouraging to see what the outcome is. A lot of these will have been, the heroes will have passed already, and we'll see the sum total of their lives. And we'll be able to evaluate, oh, you know what? I think that was worth it. They made some hard choices, but I think that was worth it. Ephesians 3, 9 and 10 says this. This is what God's will is through the church. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God. And that mystery primarily was that the Jew and the Gentile would be one body through Christ. That was crazy. Jews and Gentiles were as far apart as you could come. And God's plan was to put them together in the same body, not just to reconcile them over there privately from each other, but to put them in the same body. That's the mystery. But the focus that we want to have here is in the next phrase, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Each of our lives bears an opportunity to display a portion of that manifold wisdom of God. Manifold just means many faceted. There are a lot of facets to God's glory. In fact, there are as many facets as there are humans that have ever been born. God has a lot of parts to his glory. You're part of it. And God wants it to be fully displayed. Ronald Reagan once said this concerning the comment that, some were saying, there aren't any heroes anymore, you know? There aren't any heroes. He said, they just don't know where to look. And I agree with that. Another man defined a hero as someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. That could be a lot of things. A lot of things bigger than oneself. I think of my wife. She bore 5 children. Believe me, that was beyond Patty. That was something, we wanted that, but it was beyond us. I think of couples ready for marriage. What they're just about to commit their lives to is way beyond them. They have no idea. That's why in a lot of marriages, they just say, for richer or poorer. You know, it might happen, you know, in sickness or health. You don't know. It's a huge undertaking, something beyond our lives. That's what heroes are made for. That's how God's heroism is displayed. A lot of times I've thanked my dad just for being faithful. Day by day by day for 17 years while I was home, 17 years, almost 18 years, he was faithful every day to that farm. And not only that, but he also involved each of us kids. He engaged us in something that he had engaged himself in, which was beyond him. It was something bigger than him. And I just have... It's just flooded my heart with appreciation for his example in that he's my hero, one of my heroes. You know, in a similar way, we have been called to, 2 Corinthians says, reconciling the world to ourselves. How's that for something beyond us? We can't do it alone. But God's design is that together we would display his glory and his honor in special ways, in many ways, manifold ways, in order to bring the world to himself by seeing what he's like. If people saw what God is really like, they would want to see him. The devil has blinded eyes, but we are the light of the world, and we can shine through. Somehow God just splits the curtain. Bill Young says with him, on the moment of salvation, God just sort of said, boop, peek-a-boo. And that was his moment. That was his moment. I've been encouraged of late as I've read in many places in the scriptures lists of seemingly unimportant lists. For example, in 1 Chronicles 27, there's a list of those in charge of the various division of King David's army. Month by month, they would kind of change how it was. And it goes on for a whole page. Why do I need to know in this month this guy of this tribe managed the army and on and on and on and on? Not only that, there are lists of those in charge of the royal storehouses, of who is in charge of the storehouses in the outlying towns, of who's in charge of the field workers, of the vineyards, of the produce from the vineyards, of the olive and the sycamore fig trees, of the supplies of olive oils, who's in charge of the herds grazing in Sharon, who's in charge of the herds grazing down in the valley, who's in charge of the donkeys, of the camels, of the flocks, of the king's property. Why do I need to know? You know what? It's because God wants you to know everyone is significant. Every life has a purpose. Then we have a list of the priesthood's service. Some of the priests had charge of gates, you know, around the temple complex. Some offered sacrifices. Some were supposed to lead singing. Some were supposed to just be musicians. And all these offices in this passage were chosen by lot, which means they left the decision up to God, which means God specifically said, I want you to do this with all your heart. Thrilling to me, thrilling how God does this individually to a person. I want us to see another, I want to give you this quote. This is what Arthur Ashe said. True heroism is the urge to serve others at whatever cost. Yesterday or sometime this week, we got a letter from my sister who lives in Norman, Oklahoma. And Norman is just south of Moore, Oklahoma, where they had another devastating tornado. It happens, it's just so frequent down there. In fact, I think Mary said that Oklahoma has 9 of the most, disaster declarations. It leads by 9 or something like that. It's a place of natural disasters. That's what I'm trying to say. And one thing that she said is in one schoolhouse there, for example, one or some of the teachers had their kids lie down on the floor kind of as close together as they could, and then the teacher got down on top of them to shield them. It's heroism. It's doing something that is beyond your life, caring for something beyond just your own survival. God does not create insignificant people or insignificant days or insignificant deeds. Tim and I were talking about this earlier this week, and we were thinking of Ephesians 2:10, which says that God has prepared good deeds for us. He's prepared them. We just have to step into them. We have to be alert. We have to be willing to separate the flesh. I looked at quite a few quotes in preparing this message, and one guy said that heroism really is a heroism of the soul to deny the flesh. And we experience that, don't we? He plans on you and me living our life for his glory, just like the heroes that we're going to be looking at this summer. Tim and I were thinking of another passage. I don't think I put this on the PowerPoint, but this is from Romans 16. And when I read this, it's a lot of names, but that's the point, each one being important. Romans 16, verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. There's heroism there. My fellow workers who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Paul found things that were heroic about these folks. Also greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet him. He's worthy. He's a hero. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Okay, now how much heroism does it take to work hard? Quite a bit. Doesn't say exactly what she did, but she worked hard at it. And that is heroic. That's what I say about my dad. He just did it day after day after day after day. That's heroic. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. How about that? A friend. Is that unimportant? No, it's not unimportant. It's heroic to be a friend who is a close friend. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Styches, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who's worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. I think he means by that Rufus's mom was like a mom to him. She didn't stop with her own little circle. She loved like a mom loves. That is heroic. And we want to study that. Greet Asyncrates, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren with them. That seems to me to be a group that worked together. I don't think they probably lived in the same household, but they worked together and they were closely associated in a faithful way, in such a way that Paul could remember them and list them. You will never know these till heaven, these people. But when you get there, you'll say, you know what? You were in the Bible. You are a hero. Paul thought they were worthy of mention. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Again, a group that was working together. When he says those who are with them, it gives the indication that what these folks were doing was leading. They were just making it possible for godliness to come out of these lives. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. So I just find this fascinating that in portions of Scripture that honestly we think, oh man, this is kind of boring. I mean, you know how those Old Testament accounts, for example, read. They're the same words, the same phrases, and the same sentences, just a few names are changed. And you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again. Anything. Everyone is important. Every single one is important. Do you believe me when I say that your life matters? I hope this summer that you will find this to be the case, that God fully intends you to be a hero to someone. Isn't that neat? He intends for your life to be a hero's, to have hero characteristics. So the second reason for reviewing heroes this summer is just for the humility to play your role and to appreciate others who are playing theirs. You know, we irritate one another sometimes because we're just not the same. And we don't think the same, we don't have the same background, and we don't have the same struggles and so on, and it just, you know, sometimes it's a bit much. But we can appreciate the fact that God's given us each a deck of cards to play. We got a hand. We got to play our hand. We got to be responsible with what God's given to us. Anyway, that's a couple of reasons for hope and for humility. One last reason is for help in walking by faith. For help in walking by faith. We said earlier, you know, it's unfamiliar territory to walk by faith rather than what we see. I just want to finish by reading Hebrews 11 here this morning. And as I read it, I want you to just notice how many people, again, are mentioned, how many different circumstances they were involved in, and how many different ways God displayed his honor and glory through them. This is what it says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that it was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken up, so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they'd been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Those familiar words, only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. In other words, it was a foreshadowing that God would kill his own son and raise him back to life. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau regarding things yet to come, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on his staff, on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back the dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treatment, men of whom the world is not worthy. Their heroes, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. That is, they didn't receive the whole promise. part of what's being referred to as the new covenant. All of these were old covenant people. They did not receive the Holy Spirit indwelling us. They hadn't received that yet. They still aspired to obey because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. I just see here a tremendous opportunity for us. I wanted you to have this in mind and heart, kind of prepare your hearts as we come morning by morning, thinking, God, how are you going to use my life? What can I learn from the heroes who have gone before me? What hope do you have for me? What humility should I display? What help do you have for me in walking by faith? How did these guys do it? Honestly, what did they look at? How did they get through? Adam talked about these trials. How did they do it? You better know they had some. We're not the only people that have troubles. How did they do it? What did they look at that became something heroic? We'll see that this summer. And I have this in my mind that by the end of this summer, this room will be full of heroes, that we will expect that of each other. Not that we, you know, are come on, where's your hero? It's not that, but that we understand we're in process, a work in progress, like Sarah was saying earlier. But know this, God wants your life to be a hero life, to be a hero to someone, probably to many. And so that's why we wanted to focus on this, and I wanted to encourage you with that. Let's pray here. God, we thank you. We thank you so much that you've made us significant. We're made in your image. How could we not be significant? Yet we live in a place where, you know, it just comes to us that, wow, this is hard. So we ask you this summer to give us hope, give us encouragement. Bless us with an attitude of humility towards each other, knowing that somebody else is going to be better at something than I. I can learn from them. And God, just help us this summer as we struggle with our own faith, struggle to believe you, struggle to be revived rather than just to focus on surviving this summer. Make it rich, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.